You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky Rhett back with you here on a Monday as we have the Final Four set off a great weekend of games, man. Yeah. Buck, how are you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm great. DJ, this is the best time of year. Like, watching those games to me is what everything is about. Like, all the stuff that we always talk about on the podcast, team building, watching these homegrown squads with, like, draft and develop premises kind of make it to the Final Four. I love it. And a lot of the stuff that we talked about for a long time, it all kind of came into play.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a good way to kind of characterize what the Buffalo Bills are going to be looking at now. Right after getting bounced from the playoffs, how are they going to get this roster back to where it can contend again with a lot of salary cap issues, you know, late draft picks again? They're going to have a lot of work to do. And so it'll be really interesting to kind of follow over the next couple of months to see how teams like that, that got close, just not close enough, will continue to try to stay there.
All right, we're going to go through the games individually, but I do want to do the big picture view. Now we have the Final Four. We do this every year on here, and I jot down a couple things. I want to get your guys' thoughts on it. But if we look at the four teams, right, Baltimore, KC, San Francisco, Detroit, this is a couple things that stood out to me. I always look at, we always talk about it on here with, you know, rushing the quarterback, protecting the quarterback. So Baltimore, number one in sacks, KC, number two in sacks, San Fran tied for seventh in sacks. Detroit is the one anomaly. They're tied for 23rd in sacks, but three of the four can really get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
Sacks allowed, KC second. So they're second in both. So it tells you how they built their team along the line of scrimmage. San Francisco tied for sixth in sacks allowed. Detroit tied for fourth in sacks allowed. Baltimore is the anomaly here, tied for 16th, but that's because Lamar, he runs around and you're going to get some of those sacks. You take that, the good with the bad there. But the line of scrimmage thing, Baltimore, three first round offensive linemen, Detroit, three first round offensive linemen, Kansas City, four of their five offensive line starters were day two picks. So second and third round picks, four of the five. San Francisco is the anomaly here because Kyle Shanahan and his system is its own deal where they just get skill players and then they are going to take all the resources and dump them on the defense. They have four first round defensive linemen. So those are some of the line of scrimmage carryover from these teams. Not complicated how you build the team. You build it up front with your resources. And the last thing that was kind of interesting to me going through these rosters, Buck, you can start us off, Rhett, follow it up. But Baltimore's got four first-round wide receivers. So, and we've talked about where the league is trending and saying, okay, line of scrimmage, and we talk, obviously, you start the quarterback, then the line of scrimmage. That playmaker, especially at the receiver position, they pushed their chips in on that one.
Yeah, they did push their chips in terms of Baltimore. And I find it funny because I still feel like the plays that are made are not necessarily playmaker plays. It's Lamar Jackson plays. Like Lamar Jackson kind of scrambling around and making plays and doing those things. But I think as we talk about the group, what you talk about line of scrimmage, there's been a lot of conversation over the last year. People talk about, hey, we're a line of scrimmage team. We want to win offensive line and defensive line, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to be about it. And you're seeing that the four teams in the Final Four, like, they are teams that have really committed to making sure that on the offensive and defensive line, they have high-end talent. And from the scouting world, we always talk about, you can't miss on your first three picks. Your first, second, and third round picks, those are the guys that are at the basis of your roster. Anything after that is gravy. And so when you talk about Kansas City investing second and thirds, other teams investing first round picks, they're using high draft capital to make sure that the line of scrimmage are very, very strong.
So it took me a second there, but you really, you went in on the Nelson Aguilar first round pick situation.
He's a first round pick.
Ravens,
yeah, I count him. He's a first round talent.
That's what he is.
No, it's fair enough. Fair enough. He caught a touchdown in the game. So, so there he goes. But I would say add to that, you know, in addition to the line of scrimmage stuff, that the next line on defense, we've talked about that a couple of times. I mean, look at the backers for the 49ers. Dre Greenlaw comes up with both those interceptions. Fred Warner is obviously a beast. You look at it with the Ravens, probably the best combination of backers in the league right there with Roquan and with Patrick Queen. I think you could say the same about the Chiefs with Nick Bolton when he comes back, a sideline to sideline dude. Willie Gay obviously got hurt, which kind of hurt them.
Tranquil's a good player.
Tranquil's a really good player that they prioritized in free agency to come over and provide that group depth. And then, you know, the Lions really tried with Jack Campbell. I don't know if he's there yet, but Alex Anzalone's been a good player for them that they got in free agency. So again, I think you do see congruencies on a number of different levels.
No doubt. Again, I think it's healthy kind of look at how these teams that made it this far are built. And I there's always connective tissue. Every year there's connective tissue. The other thing that's interesting is in terms of quarterbacks, I think we've only got one on a rookie deal, right? Which forever we've talked about how, you know, it's advantageous to build that quarterback on the teams are figuring this out. And a lot of it's how they're structuring some of these contracts, but they're figuring out how to navigate around these big numbers. And it's another reminder that you better have somebody that can elevate the rest of those guys if you're going to pay them. And so far, all these guys, including Goff, who's taken his level up, you know, with Detroit,
yes,
they're elevating the guys around them. And obviously, you know what Mahomes and Lamar do. They elevate. And then San Francisco's getting the benefit of Brock Purdy on literally the cheapest contract you could find as the last pick in the draft. So there's that thing. And then, Buck, the last thing, then we'll get into these games. We're in the middle of coaching hiring season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always a little bit leery when people say this is the formula for a coach. And it's like, well, look at the four teams that are left. You got Kyle Shanahan, who we classify as like a genius play caller. You've got Andy Reid, previous head coaching experience, who had a lot of success as a previous head coach. You've got Dan Campbell, who wasn't even a coordinator. And you've got John Harbaugh, who was a special teams guy. Like, yeah. So go find the best leader that you can find and put him in there.
No. Go find the best linebacker now. That's the only, that's this hiring cycle. Go find the best linebacker.
There you go. There you go.
No, yeah. But the other thing, when you talk about Andy Reid had not been a play caller or coordinator prior to
when
being
he
a
went
coach
to Philly.
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And yep. So as much as we talk about the play caller thing or whatever, like that shouldn't be the primary reason why you hire a head coach. I think leadership is everything. And I mean, let's be honest, the Dan Campbell thing is the one that fascinates me the most just because, like, all the conversation, all the jokes and snickers when he had that introductory presser about biting kneecaps and all that other stuff. I will say, DJ and Rhett, the team is built in his image. This is a tough football team, and they are, I would say, a rare team that can play with force or finesse when they need to. And I thought what was interesting, they couldn't pee a drop running the football for three quarters of the game. But in gotta have it time, they ran the football right.
Gibbs in the speed.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And we can talk about whether it's the running back or the offensive line. And gotta have it moments when they needed to run the football, they ran the football. Fourth and goal, oh, we're running it. Fourth quarter to run it out, we're running. To me, it's just really impressive. And part of it is just the force of nature that Dan Campbell is. They've assembled a team that are built with gritty, tough-minded players, and it's working for them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people talk about, oh, it's the, you know, your culture. Like, you have a tough-minded, you know how you get a tough-minded culture? You go find tough players and you bring them into your building. That's how you do it. You don't do it by getting a bunch of soft guys and go, come in here, we're going to toughen you guys up. We're going to leather you up a little bit, callous right. Your hands. Like, nope. Amara St. Brown was tough as nails at USC when they brought him in. And it's not just the line of scrimmage players they brought in were tough. Right. They got tough guys at every position that they've brought in. All right, let's jump into some of these individual games. Let's start Chiefs-Bills. Rhett, lead us off here. Biggest takeaway coming out of this game with Kansas City getting a road win.
Well, Josh Allen loses his first game when he doesn't have a turnover, which I think tells you, again, two things. The Chiefs wanted to make him be patient, right? They wanted to make it. They did not allow the explosives. I think they only had two explosives or three explosives in the pass game, two in the run game. And they had almost double the amount of plays at the Kansas City Chiefs had in this game. And they just, they had to be methodical. Now, I think 64 yards in the air in the fourth quarter from Josh Allen deep to Stephon Diggs, it was probably needed to be 68 and it was a touchdown, but yes, he should have caught the ball. And then, you know, obviously they ended up getting down there anyway and missing the field goal, but still, you know, what if, I think is one thing there, but Josh Allen, man, the throw to Khalil Shakir was incredible. Like he made some big plays in this game and he didn't, I did not lose them the game. He did not go hero Josh to where, you know, and put him in bad spots, but they still just didn't have enough. So I guess in that respect, I think, where do they go to find the formula to beat the Chiefs in the postseason and to beat those elite teams in the postseason? That's what this team has got to spend the next 6 months figuring out one way or another, because they've got some work cut out for them here. But overall, like I thought it was a pretty solid game from Josh Allen. It just wasn't spectacular.
Look, man, I think it's really as simple as this. I think Kansas City Chiefs are just a better team. You know, I think we can talk about Kansas City in a bunch of different ways, and they're different than they've been, but to me, they're just a better team. And the pieces of the puzzle fit a little differently than the Buffalo Bills. And that's fully acknowledging the Buffalo Bills, I thought played a really – look, I thought the game was played on their terms. I thought they controlled the game the way they wanted to. They played keep away from Pat Mahomes. They did all the things that they needed to do to win the game.
Ran the ball.
And they couldn't get it done. And there's something, too, and I know DJ kind of understands this, being around Baltimore when Baltimore has been successful. Like, once you start winning in this league and win at a high level, man, there's just a confidence that you're going to figure it out. And the fear that everyone in the league should have now is, now that the Kansas City Chiefs are in the Final Four, I mean, they know how to win it. And so I think what the Chiefs didn't lose it, even though Mecole Hardman tried to give it away. Because if you really think about it, they had an opportunity to really separate. They could have blown the game open because they were in control of the game and kind of stumbled or whatever. But I think the Kansas City Chiefs, as presently constructed, their defense is what sets the table. Pat Mahomes knows how to play winning football. He played within himself. I don't think he turned it over, right? He didn't turn it over. And then they did enough, Isaiah Pacheco, to win the game. I just feel like the Chiefs are just a little bit better than the Buffalo Bills at this point.
I think it's interesting that we always talk about how you construct your team to win your division, to win your conference, and to win a Super Bowl. So the Chiefs have been the standard. They've been the best team in the NFL for 6 years now. They've been in six straight conference championship games. So at least everybody in the AFC is constructing their team to try and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But what do you do when the target and how you're trying to build up to beat a target keeps morphing and changing and evolving? So just when you think you've built up a team of DBs, and we're going to go out here and cover them, Patrick Mahomes throws the ball 23 times. Yeah. And they're going to be able to run the ball efficiently. And their defense is going to be young and dominant. Like, I think about some of those teams, like the Cowboy teams of the 90s. You know, it's the triplets. Everybody thought that was a young, fast, dynamic defense. Buck, you saw it with the Green Bay teams like during that time. Yeah. Young, fast, dynamic defenses. And the offenses get all the headlines and all that kind of stuff. You can go through a lot of these iterations of these offenses that have won Super Bowls that have garnered attention. But at the defensive side of the ball, there was something happening. And this is a defensive team now. Instead of asking Patrick Mahomes to go out there and throw it 50 times, hey, let's just be efficient. You're going to have to use your superpowers with your legs, extend some plays, make some things happen. But we're going to ask you to do four incredible things, not 15 incredible things. Mm-hmm. It felt like Josh Allen needed to do 15 incredible things to win that game.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting too, when you think about the flow of the game, right? I mean, you had this stretch from late first half until early fourth quarter, where it was touchdown, touchdown, end of half, touchdown, touchdown. And then it kind of started to slow down a little bit in the middle of the fourth quarter. And you felt like, all right, man, who's going to, you know, how's this thing going to end up? Who's going to have the ball at the end? And like when they missed that field goal at the end, I mean, like, I think everyone was fully expecting we were going to get another 10 minutes of this game. And it was just like, bam, the suddenness of it was like, oh, whoa, just like that, it's over. And I think that just tells you, again, the caliber of play from 0 to 60 minutes or 60 minutes to zero here, and the caliber of the players in the game, and, you know, like what it takes to get to this moment and what it takes to be in a game that's this close. It's just that feeling that was pretty spectacular to see how you felt at the end of that thing, knowing that there was more out there.
Yeah, I think Marty Schottenheimer used to say this, and he always would talk about it in big games. More games are lost than won. And I feel like when you have the experience that Kansas City has, they know how to not give it away. You know what I'm saying? I think they've done a better job of just, in their two games, hey, we're just not going to give it away. And let's see. It's almost like playing ping pong where you're not the aggressor. I'm just going to keep volleying. And I don't think you have the stamina to be able to concentrate and stay in it. And that's what they're doing. And, man, their defense, because, DJ, you're talking about young, dynamic defense. I think that's the secret sauce. I think the secret sauce, when you pay the quarterback, the most important hire is the defensive coordinator who understands how to build a dominant defense with young players. And that defensive coaching staff understands how to get young guys on the field, because I will still say the best is yet to come for the Kansas City Chiefs defense, because George Karloftis and all those guys, year two.
Yeah.
Year two in the National Football League, they have a chance to go to their second Super Bowl. It only gets easier for them as they play more together. That's the secret sauce. You can pay as much as you want for the quarterback. If I can get a young defense 4 years or under to play, I'm not paying any money for my defensive talent.
Yeah, the only thing on that is the best defensive player is up, and Chris Jones, who's still a dominant.
Oh, we got to pay him.
Yeah,
we gotta pay him.
Yeah, they're gonna have to really, really pay him, man. I would not want. And he might look at it and say, maybe I could take a little bit less here, but man, I'm a chance to really talk about like a Charles Haley type resume you could put together here by winning a bunch of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He's right there.
And I think they have to make the decision. How much longer is Travis Kelce going to play? Because I think you can structure the deal knowing that Kelce's money is coming off the books sometime soon. So, but you got to keep him. But all the other young defenders, man, got to go. He's non-negotiable.
And as we move on to the next one here, I will just add, I feel emboldened on something that I feel like we've kind of set some scouting ground rules here over the years. And maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Rhett, you will remember this, and Buck, yeah, we had this conversation. The corners that aren't tough and aren't physical, no thanks. Let somebody else play with. Because when you watch that game, the tackling and the physicality of those freaking corners for Kansas City, hey now, like that's NFL football right now.
Not only that, so you talk about the tackling in whatever game we go to next. The Green Bay Packers, to me, lost because of the poor tackling. They had a couple series where their guys didn't tackle in space. George Kittle catches a pass. They missed the tackle. He goes, sets him up. And then at the end of the game, when Christian McCaffrey scored, I don't know what kind of tackling attempt that was from 34. Just on his knee. Hey, DJ, like now it's intolerable.
That hole was huge, though. I mean, like that, that was.
But I get what you're saying. He just threw a shoulder. Yeah. Like he didn't try and. Yeah.
Now, like for so long, Rhett, like when we were scouting, we didn't even really talk about tackling in the report. It was like the last line.
Pay you to cover. That used to be the line. We pay you to cover. Not anymore.
But now it is apparent that if you cannot tackle, man, it's such a liability for your team, and the teams that are still standing, they have really good tackling defenders in the back end.
Lions, Bucks, 31-23. The Lions get it done. They're going to head to San Francisco. Buck, biggest takeaway from this one?
Man, Jared Goff put on a show. I mean, Jared Goff, for all those years or whatever, people talking about him, Jared Goff played like a number one overall pick. Like, he threw the ball like you're supposed to throw it. Like, he's throwing in tight windows. He's working the middle of the field over and over and over again to the point. Okay, so DJ, at Elite 11, where you guys have been there. So at Elite 11, we have these concepts that are charted. I think the concept that they kept running is what I think we used to call Smith, is two low-hanging guys running whip routes, and there's a basic coming right over top at 12 yards. I'm looking at the game and I'm like, my God, how many times can the Detroit Lions run this play with somebody coming over the middle? And Jared Goff is banging it in there every time. And for aspiring scouts who want to talk about anticipation, Jared Goff throws with anticipation. I mean, he had no fear. He was pulling the ripcord and letting it go. So to me, the takeaway is, man, Jared Goff, the Lions, despite all the conversation about they need to get another franchise quarterback, yada, 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 when they made the trade.
Nah, he's the dude.
Look, man, Yeah, they fell into a really good quarterback playing well in that system.
I mean, that throw to Amon-Ra St. Brown, like it just could not have been anywhere else. And you know what the unspoken part of that whole play was that I thought was obviously a crucial one because it had him, you know, had him up by two scores there, is Josh Reynolds is running the pick, right? He's running the pick, mm-hmm. and he is so meticulous, and I'm sure this was coached to a T by Ben Johnson and the receivers and Antoine Randall-El and that whole crew there, is he gets close to Anzalone and then completely turns away from him so as not to be confused to get an offensive PI call. And it gave Amon-Ra just what he needed to provide the separation for Jared Goff to put that in the bucket. But like those games and those plays and those details make games like this when they're that close. So I love seeing that attention to it.
No doubt. You talk about hitting the middle of the field, St. Brown and LaPorta, 17 catches between the two of them.
Yeah, they were incredible. They were incredible.
I mean, they just wore them out in the middle of the field. And then the interesting thing, if we just go quickly to Tampa, I know we turned the ball over a little bit, but I mean, Baker, I'm going to imagine Baker's going to be their guy. He'll be going to their next year as their guy.
Franchise tag.
He played nails too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there's something about the draft pedigree. We can say whatever we thought about when he was picked number one overall, but you can see the talent. And the talent shows
he's got a live arm.
The fastballs
he was on point. And I think the other thing that I'm beginning to appreciate more in quarterbacks, I want my quarterbacks with some scuffs on them a little bit. Because I think both of those guys have kind of been through the ringer. The toughness that they both displayed, I'm with. And while we're evaluating quarterbacks, maybe need to make sure they've been through a little adversity. So the first sign of adversity as pros doesn't completely crumble them. The way that Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield performed in that game, you could tell that their resilience, their grittiness, had been built up through some really tried and true adversity.
100%. I think it's a great point. All right, let's take a break. We come back. We will jump into these other two games right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, Nabil's going to have to plug his ears on this one, Rhett. 24-21, Niners get the Packers in a game that felt like the Packers outplayed the 49ers for the majority of it, couldn't get out of their own way, and the 49ers, not at their best, found a way to get a win.
Whew, yeah. Credit to Brock Purdy and to that 49ers offense on that final drive. I mean, they did what they had to do. They were special. Ate up about 5 minutes of clock time. Purdy was perfect from a completion percentage perspective. If you take away the Kittle drop, And then you had the Christian McCaffrey parting of the Red Sea, leaving him one-on-one with Jonathan Owens, who you guys were talking about, were coming. It was basically coming from outside the box to make that tackle. It was nobody home in the middle of the field. But I think, you know, when you look at this, I think it does come down to clutch play from the quarterback too, because Jordan Love threw that interception that led to the 49ers getting the field goal at the start of the fourth quarter. It was a bad pick. He might have had Christian Watson on a go route for a touchdown and ends up throwing behind the crosser that ends up getting tipped and deflected into Drake Greenlaw's arms. And then obviously we know the one at the end, you can't have it. Like, with that much time on the clock and knowing what you need and with everything still in reach, you've got to know that that can't be the play, right? To throw that kind of interception. So you got to let your guys, you got to live to play another day in some of those situations. I thought Purdy and the 49ers understood the task at hand and executed in the clutch moments just a little bit better than the Packers did at that point.
Yeah, I think they executed better. The Green Bay Packers had the game on their terms. They forced the San Francisco 49ers out of their comfort zone by being up and dominated. We had to see the 49ers play a drop back game as opposed to their traditional run and play action game. One of the things that stood out to me with Brock Purdy, and it's shown up a couple times, you know, people like to give us hard times about hand size and all that other stuff. He clearly has a tough time throwing a wet ball. You saw him try and play with the glove. You saw him take the glove off. And he threw more floaters than we've ever seen. He was like Steph Curry in the paint. Like,
got away with a couple.
Yeah, he got away with it. And so, it's nothing that'll show up each and every week, but it's one of those things where, look, man, in poor conditions, it kind of came out and messed with him. And I'm just kind of surprised because he played at Iowa State. I'm just surprised that it
grew up in Arizona, bothers him. Right?
Yeah, that it bothers him so much. Yeah, he did. He did.
From,
yeah,
he is yeah, from Scottsdale, Arizona. Phoenix.
Yeah. But I'm just surprised that it bothers him as much, having played, what, 4 years with the Cyclones.
Yeah, I was just thinking of, like, Christian McCaffrey is like this 4x4, this rugged 4x4, and the weather's nasty outside. And it's like, this is not to take a shot at Brock, but it's like, hey, why are we driving the Accord? We don't need to drive the Accord. We got a 4x4 right here.
Well, you know what?
Like, let's
you
get
know
that thing out. What are we doing?
Quit trying to put the chains on the yes. tires on the Accord.
What are we doing?
I didn't really understand that part. And maybe some, like, in games, play calling gets away, but I'm like, hey man, your best player has like 15 carries and almost 100 yards. It kind of seems like maybe you should just
give him the ball,
ride him out,
which is so different from years past. Which again shows you as a coach when you've stamped, like, he's stamped Brock Purdy, and I'm gonna be proven right how great he is. Versus like Jimmy Garoppolo, I never really believed in Jimmy. It's about what we're not even throwing the ball. Just run it the whole game. We'll just win the game that way. And I thought in this particular game, now Brock, give him credit. He made the plays at the end that they needed to win it. He put together the drive, but I don't think it needed to be that hard. I think they could have won that game just by feeding Christian McCaffrey the ball.
Yeah, it did feel a little weird considering the elements and all that was going on in that game for sure.
Yeah, no, that was one that I just didn't fully understand. One thing.
How do they play without Debo? If Debo Samuel doesn't play, like, they look different.
Yeah, they need him back.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's the Jenga piece. But
we saw it earlier this year too.
Yeah, but like when he's out, like it was like a completely different animal on offense.
All right, I'm going back now, okay? Because I always think it's interesting because Phil Savage, who I had worked for before, used to always say, "There's no, you know." If you write a report on a player, if you do your homework and you watch the tape and you write the report, whether you give somebody a good grade, a bad grade, everything that you've said in the report will at some point in time show up in the NFL. Now, it might be able to maximize his strengths and minimize his weaknesses. Sometimes the weaknesses get maximized, the strengths get minimized. But I went back to the Jordan Love report here. Operate out of the gun at Utah State, fluid and smooth in his setup, throws from a variety of platforms and arm angles. The ball jumps out of his hand. He's at his best on skinny post drive throws and over-the-top deep balls. Decision-making was very concerning this past season. Forced too many balls into crowds. Mm-hmm. Didn't ever give up on a play to a fault. His supporting cast wasn't very good, but he still fell into some bad habits. Uses his athletic ability to escape and extend plays, but there are occasions when he fails to climb or reset his feet. Overall, Love is a raw prospect who will need some time to develop. There is risk here, but the payoff could be huge. And I was like, that was him. Like, that was what you saw last night. You saw the good stuff, and that you've seen a lot of the good stuff over the second half of the season. He's played awesome. But some of those little things that showed up in college, man, it just showed up at the worst time in this game, Buck.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. It showed up at the worst time, like the hero throws, the things that really plagued him his last year. Because remember, he had that big drop-off. It was a huge drop-off his final year. You're like, man, he has so many interceptions. And he had done a really good job of getting away from that. But typically under pressure, man, the real you shows up. And so he has to do a really good job of trying to harness that part of his game, making sure he doesn't make those decisions under pressure because it cost him. Look, for as well as he played, and look, he deserves the bag and all that other stuff, did a great job of helping his team. But now he's going to be judged on, can he get to the next level? Because we see what the next level looks like. He will have to be in the dance with the Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens of the world. Does he have the ability to rise up like those guys are able to rise up in those key moments?
All right, that's a great point. Let's get to last game here. We don't have a ton of time left, but Ravens-Texans, a game that was dead even going into halftime, and the Ravens opened it up in the second half. Buck, I'll go to you first on this one as our high school coach on the pod. I tweeted out, that felt like I was watching a high school game where the coach goes into the locker room and says, the rest of you guys go get some oranges. Go, Lamar, come here. All right.
This is our best player. He's taking the ball.
Just take it. You just do your thing, okay? Don't worry about anybody else. You just be you, and we'll go win this game. Put you the best athlete, best player, quarterback. Go win me the game. Buck, it felt like I was watching a high school game. How easy he made that look in a second.
DJ, sometimes it's as simple as that in high school. You pull the best player to the side, like, hey man, how long are we gonna go before you take this over? Like, how long do we have to wait before you just take it over? Like, can we take the game over? And that's what he did. And I kind of teased this a little bit. I felt like Lamar Jackson has taken some of the stuff that Pat Mahomes has done and made it a part of his game. When the Ravens have changed over their offense, they went from doing more quarterback design runs, hey, we're going to make you the running back, to, no, we're going to make you the scrambler. I feel like Lamar Jackson is now playing Madden. Hey, I'm going to send all you guys deep. Oh, there's a hole, and I'm going to scoot. And what it has done, same production on the ground, fewer big hits. And so I think he's a more dangerous player now because of that part of the game. He always had it, but he didn't utilize it the way that he's utilizing it now. Now he's a scarier guy to defend because the runs are coming on scrambles and the occasional design run, which makes it really tough for the defense because now you're forced, hey, we're playing zone, we're playing man, do I plaster, do I stay, all this other stuff. And their offense is dynamic. He was terrific. The numbers won't show it, 252 total yards, but he dominated the game when he needed to dominate the game.
Yeah, and to me, you know, you look on the flip side and it felt like C.J. Stroud, you know, was uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he was under pressure constantly. You know, it was almost like I felt like watching that national title game with Michigan against Michael Penix. I was just under pressure a bunch. You know, did his best to kind of keep things, you know, as stable and as close as he could throughout the first half. But then, you know, and then getting back to the Lamar part, I mean, D'Amico Ryans was trying everything, wasn't he? Just to try to stop him. I mean, it was blitzing all over the place.
They had success early blitzing like crazy. I thought they probably should have just stuck with that, committed to that.
Probably
anytime
so.
They rush four, they get killed.
You just can't turn your back either. No. Like, you can't. I don't know how anybody plays being covered.
You have to have the personnel, too. Like, Christian Harris can be that guy. Denzel Perriman cannot be that guy.
Correct.
You cannot have Denzel Perriman sitting there as the whole defender, as the only person between Lamar Jackson and, like, you can't have that.
Right in space. Yeah, it's not.
It's not a knock on him. I mean, there's not very many people that can do that. They have one in Christian Harris, but you got to have another guy like that. You know, that's what they're going to have to do in the offseason, knowing they're going to have to go through Baltimore.
And they couldn't stop the run. I mean, even when it wasn't Lamar, they couldn't stop the run. I mean, the Ravens had their way, you know, physically, it felt like up front for the majority of that game, just like we were talking at the top of the pod.
Yeah, but I am excited about Houston. I'll give you another reason to be excited about them. I was just looking this up this morning. The Houston Texans, where are they here? The Houston Texans have $59.3 million worth of cap space. So that is the beautiful thing about the rookie quarterback deal. When you have a guy who's this good this early as C.J. Stroud is, Buck, they're going to get a chance to load up around him. And whether they need to put those resources defensively, offensively, whatever they want to do, Rhett, they can do whatever they need to do.
And just lastly, by the way, Kenyon Green didn't play a snap this year. Was a first round pick for him. You know, so you're going to get, you get a first round talent offensive lineman, hopefully back for you, you know, to start next year. And now you can really start putting some pieces together because Juice Scruggs came back, you know, late season, gave him a lift. I think they find some real pieces to kind of get their best five in there next year.
Look, it's a good team. They're well positioned to do it. They have to be selective with how they spend their cash, but you have the quarterback, which is a big piece of the puzzle. You got the coach, and look, man, they're just continuing to build this out, but they got a taste of it. They see how far away it is for them to get to that next level, but they also see that they can play with the big boys, and that's that gives you a lot of confidence going into the offseason.
Yeah, they missed Tank Dell in that game, too. It would have been nice to have him out there.
Yes.
All right, this was a fun one today. Hope you guys have enjoyed this. Be sure to check out tomorrow's episode because Buck has his first mock draft. The entire episode will be devoted to digging into that, have some fun discussions. So be on the lookout. Until then, we'll see you right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.